The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is that a banjo? Not a banjo.
Almost a banjo. It's a,
this whole thing is almost a banjo.
It's kind of almost a banjo, but it's a cool Metallica version of Fuel.
That's great. Like, how is that almost a banjo?
Which part of all banjo rejoins for the next hour?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I forgot about that.
By the way, this is the Greg Hill Show. I didn't mean to say, by the way, dot, dot, dot. This is Greg Hill Show. This is the Greg Hill Show, by the way, dot, dot, dot. I'm Rob Bradford along with Fitzy. We're on with you till 10 o'clock. We got Jelani Tavai coming up in a mere matter of minutes. There's a few things I want to get to before that. I will do my trend at some point. Once we do my trend, Fitzy, we're going to be talking about it forever. It's like, so we
Your you know, lead is that hot this morning?
Yeah, well, trend. Yeah, lead. What did I say? Lead. My lead is that hot. Everyone's going to be buzzing about it, much like they're already buzzing the fact that Bill O'Brien, we got the breaking news that Bill O'Brien got an autographed Larry Bird basketball.
Phenomenal.
That is
phenomenal gift.
I mean, let's go.
He's got, if he ever visits me at the Southern New England Fitzy Estates, he'll have to bring that, and I'll invite him into the sauna, and we can talk about it.
except you will be dressed up as a naked Mr. Peanut. Anyway... Fitzy, you had said that we just had the Bill O'Brien interview. You can go check out that on the Odyssey app. And he had mentioned, we were talking at length, probably more than people wanted, about how the 1978, the playoff game, the one-game playoff for the Yankees against Red Sox, defined our sports viewing existence, both for Bill O'Brien and myself. Of course, he is going to Yankee Stadium to get payback, enact payback on the Yankees by winning on their own turf against Nebraska in the Pinstripe Bowl. The Bad Boy Mowers
Pinstripe Bowl.
Okay, well, I'm still calling it the Pinstripe Bowl. It spawned a story from yourself about what launched your sports fandom. Go ahead.
The seminal moment of my sports fandom as a Ute, if you will, because I spent so much time around my dad and his degenerate friends watching sports growing up, which is what basically was the basis or formation of the Fitzy character or caricature, if you will, in the early days, Bradfo. But back in 1986, the infamous 86 World Series, I was as diehard a 12-year-old football fan, baseball fan, Sox fan growing up on the South Shore. And long story short, you know, they lose game 6 on Saturday night, and then there's a rain delay on Sunday. So all of New England, all of Red Sox Nation was locked in Monday night, game 7 at Shea Stadium. And, of course, it goes, they're up 3-0. Hurst gives up 3 in the 6. It goes sideways. Orozco strikes out Barrett. I can't believe the Mets have won. I was so disconsolate. I was so sad by that my mom actually let me skip school Tuesday.
Ooh.
She gave me a bereavement day, and then she sent me to school Wednesday with an Epstein's mom excuse absence note that said, "Dear Mrs. Foley, please excuse Nick from missing school yesterday. He was just too sad after the Red Sox lost the World Series." And my teacher said, "Totally understand. Didn't give me any grief whatsoever."
People don't understand the impact something like that has on, and maybe they do understand because our demographic traditionally is, it plummets because we are both podcasters, right? So all the cool kids, you know, we're like, hello, fellow kids. We walk
Buscemi with a skateboard over our
skateboard,
shoulder.
Hat backwards. Hello, I always wear my flat brim hat, sort of today, a little bit today. But for the kids who are listening, they know what we're talking about. I don't know what that would be for this generation.
I do.
Hold on. Okay. Don't spoil it.
Okay.
I mean, you would have to go back. I'm saying this generation. I'm talking about in the last 5 years, and you're going to go back to the Patriots, right?
I was actually going to go back. I could go back twice because you could say, you say for this generation, I guess I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt to go back a little further, but I would say either Game 7, 2003,
yep,
on that Thursday night with Aaron blanking Boone off Wakefield.
Yeah, but think about that, Fitzy. So, someone who is of that age, it would be, let's see, let's say they're 10 years old, right?
Another 30, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so it's sort of bizarre to think that way. But I'm talking about for the young kids who are, as you said, just happy to be there for Christmas and getting presents as the 8-year-old, as the little Robbie Bradford in 1978, the 8-year-old.
Like, how do you do, fellow kids?
Thank you, Jackson.
maybe it was such a weird time for everybody because it happened 4 days after the world veritably shut down. But maybe Brady leaving on St. Patrick's Day 2020.
Maybe, but it makes me think, though, Fitzy, about this iteration of Pats fandom. Like, this isn't just a hiccup now. I mean, we're talking about going on 5 years. 5 years of this, and really with the Red Sox, too. I guess you have the Celtics, sure. I mean, you have that championship. But I everybody will look back and say, oh, my goodness, the Celtics, what an easy road they had. You know, I don't know. But you look at the Red Sox and Patriots, especially the Patriots, the last 5 years, it has been, oh, remember that big win against blah?
What was the last? No, seriously, like as far as the Patriots go, yes, they did buy their way back into the playoffs in 2021, but they got their doors blown off so hard by Buffalo in that game.
Doesn't
part
even
of the back to back.
Doesn't even count.
Josh Allen not punting against the Patriots. Doesn't count. Doesn't even count. So you're going all the way back to Super Bowl 53 since the Patriots won a postseason game. And Bradfo, you say, like, you know, we just keep thinking about the Patriots as, you know, they're the Patriots. You see the flying Elvis, it's Belichick, it's Brady. No, they're now going on long enough that when you see the Patriots logo, thinking about living in the cellar, frustration and futility are becoming more the norm than what used to be, which was, of course, dominance, relevance, and always having a seat at the postseason table.
Yeah, and you have Adam Archuleta doing every broadcast. It's like,
if I have to put together Sunday 7 one more time for .com and write about how Spiro Ditas is doing the play-by-play.
is he the one with the plaid shirt, that he showed up in the plaid shirt? I as I tweeted out, you know your team isn't good when one of the announcers shows up wearing a flannel.
I mean, that might have been, I don't know. There's so many of, like, CBS keeps trotting out names none of us have ever heard of, like Tom McCarthy, who sounds like AI Will Fleming doing the games on CBS or Fox or wherever. Like, the low B, like, Tom Brady is calling football games now, Bradfo. Whether you think he's calling them well or not, that's a different debate and subject for another time.
Will we ever, maybe, let's say in the next 3 years, we'll get a Tom Brady game announcing the Patriots?
Yes.
Just because it's not because the Patriots are good. It's because because they know it'll be a big ratings boost.
Well, I don't see.
If they play.
Not the Chiefs. They got flexed out of the Chiefs last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the 79 Patriots are going up against the undefeated whoever's, mm-hmm, and Tom Brady's going to announce it, and you're going to get huge. That would get huge ratings. I mean, that would get enormous ratings just because Brady's doing the Patriots. Or would
Brady
it
finally calling a game?
Or would
yes.
it? I mean, would it? I mean, I think that bigger ratings would be if they could ever get Tom Brady to do a Bill Belichick UNC game. Can he do the Wasabi Bowl? Can Tom Brady just take a few minutes to do the Wasabi Bowl on Saturday?
If Tom Brady calling the Kikkoman low sodium instant ramen bowl would be talk about a bonanza. See, I think he Brady, if I'm not mistaken, I think Fox has the Super Bowl in February, so it's going to be Burkhart and Brady calling the game. And if it's Mahomes going for his fourth overall Super Bowl and third straight, which Brady is going to have to obviously mention time and time and time again because, you know, they were the last team to win back-to-backs, now the Chiefs, and is he going to come that much closer to Brady? I think that will be nothing's going to validate the 10-year, $375 million Fox and Rupert Murdoch gave him, but that'll be a bump Brady-wise. As far as the Patriots go, I can't see for at least 2 years a game that would be so good that you'd have to have America's top broadcast team on it.
Well, I as I said, as I promised earlier, I do want to get into the Netflix dynamic yesterday.
Please.
and what they rolled out for the better or for the worse and what that meant, because it does mean something. But I also want, before I get to this call, Mark and Medford, we got Jelani Davai coming up in a couple minutes here. But you mentioned Brady, and it's a day after Christmas, right? I mean, we haven't quite morphed into the This Reflect on 2024 shows, which I would imagine I am going to do plenty of over the next week or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if we are going to start the reflection on 2024, let's start with Tom Brady as an announcer, Fitzy. What was your takeaway? Because it was so disastrous, his first one. And now you listen to it. I'm not gonna put words in your mouth. What do you think? How do you think he is as a broadcaster?
If you're going to give me the one word game,
yeah,
like okay, sum up Tom Brady's.
How do you spell it?
Yeah, honestly, the word, I think it's very simple. Compromised.
Oh,
I think Tom Brady cannot fully be the broadcaster and analyst that he can or should be because of the fact that he is a partial owner of an NFL football team. Thereby, he can't be critical of other players to the same degree. He can't be as critical. He certainly can't be critical of the referees because they're paid by the same league of which he is a part owner as well. And he can't go to meetings. He can't go. And all the online clapback from people like, oh, yeah, you know, Schefter defended it so much on the afternoon show when I was on with Arkander Hart a little while ago. You know, it's Tom Brady. Do you think he needs to go to these meetings? Do you think he needs to be there? Well, Adam and everyone else defending Brady, while he certainly still has the relationships that he curried favor with and courted for all that time that he spent in the NFL, he's going to eventually be the Steve Buscemi with a skateboard over his shoulder of the broadcast booth. And he's going to need to go to these meetings and get to know some of these new players who will say, yeah, you were the GOAT, but I don't know you. And I think he has to blank or get off the pot. He's got to do one or the other. He shouldn't be doing both.
See, for you and I, we can only turn our hat backwards and get a skateboard. For him, it's a lot of money going to very expensive doctors. Jelani Davai is joining us. We're so honored. Jelani Davai is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by Fine Mass Money. .gov. In 10 years, we're going to be saying Jelani Davai is the best announcer in the broadcast booth of every NFL game. Let it be said. Let it be done. I am predicting that after a Hall of Fame career, obviously, for you, Jelani. Thank you, first of all, for joining us. And is that something you would ever want to do?
I wasn't thinking about it till now, but, I mean, that'd be a cool job. But no, I already have my eyes set on some things.
Okay, well, I think we have an opening in the Red Sox broadcast booth, too, so let's go. So, Jelani, thank you once again for joining us the holiday season. Fitzy had said you have a new addition to your family. Is that correct?
I do.
All right. How old?
She will be 2 months. On the 8th of next month. So.
Okay. So this.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is. I know as a parent, Fitzy knows, and I'm Rob Bradford. That's Fitzy. And once again, thank you for joining us. But we know how this is. First time parent. This is your first one. First child.
Yes. First
okay.
child.
Okay. So you're buying. Basically, you're buying. And I'm sorry. What's your child's name? I want to be formal.
Anua.
Okay.
Anua.
All right. So when you buy the first gift, where you're buying gifts, do you understand that they just like bright lights and wrapping paper and boxes and smiles, or do you actually buy something for your child?
This year, no. This year is just straight diapers and stuff that we need for her to, you know, make it to year one. So diapers, wipers, and clothes.
And that's all it is, right, man? It's like, let's just make it a year one and go from there. Like, right? That's it.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Fitzy.
Yeah, oh, a good friend of mine, Jelani, refers to the first 6 months of parenting as keeping the exotic pet alive, and then it just basically turns into... You know, there's no locking eyes, no neck control. Then it gets different. But right now, obviously, you're very sleepless. And speaking of reasons to be sleepless, great radio segue, Fitzy. Another tough one last Sunday in Buffalo. You guys came out to a really, really hot start. You guys 14-0 in the first half. You guys must have been so pumped because you guys were 14.5-point underdogs going into the game. The entire world picked Buffalo. So what did it feel like to, like, come out really hot like that, and what kind of frustrations were married to just not being able to hold on to a big one that could have showed everybody you guys were behind your coach, you were still playing for each other and together, and that you were turning the ship around?
First of all, I didn't know about that the odds, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
But I didn't – going into Buffalo, I knew that everybody was against us. You felt that environment. But, you know, it's just frustrating because it comes down to those little things, you know, like, and that's the stuff that we're trying to get rid of. That way we can, you know, those things won't affect us later on in the game. But, you know, it's a good week this week because it's a shorter week, and we get to have another opportunity to go back out there and, you know, and show everybody that, you know, we're not just packing up our bags and getting ready for the offseason. You know, we're ready to, you know, show that, you know, we're all behind Mayo and we're trying our best to, you know, show what we want to put out there. So we're excited to play the Chargers Saturday.
Well, you said it. I mean, we're all behind Mayo, and this is anytime you have this sort of record, people are going to do the slings and arrows thing. We had Drake May coming out after and saying, hey, a lot of this stuff is BS. But for someone who's in that room, someone who's been on a lot of teams for the good and the bad and everything else, you understand what the vibe is, what the feeling is toward the path that you're going and the coaching staff where they're leading you. How would you classify that feeling right now in that locker room when it comes to this group of coaches, this program, this philosophy, all of that right now as we sit here as the season's winding down?
How would I classify? I mean, Rome wasn't built in one day, you know. There's, you know, and these guys have been constantly on us and trying to, you know, get us to buy in, and it just shows that, especially from this last game, how regardless of the record, guys were bought in. You know, we were trying to go out there and of course, like we said, shock the world, and we're just going to continue to do that. We definitely did have a great week or great one day of preparation so far in the office, especially during this holiday. But I know a lot of the guys are pretty bummed, or not bummed, but pissed off that, you know, we let that one slip away. So, you know, we're going to do everything that we can to, you know, come in this week, prepare, and, you know, and get ready for the Chargers.
Hey, Jelani, obviously a lot's been made in the regional media and with Pats fans about Jerod Mayo. Like you said, he was embattled, and you guys want to come out and play for your coach. Alex Van Pelt has had to deal with some criticism surrounding the play calling as well. And now your coordinator, DeMarcus Covington, has come under fire recently because the guys have had some issues with protecting the lead late game, rush defense sometimes, some edges given up, etc. So what kind of job, now that you've been here a few years, do you feel DeMarcus Covington has done going from defensive line coach to defensive coordinator? And what do you say are his strengths that he brings to the team?
No, he's a very aggressive coach. You know, he's not going to sit back and allow the opposing offense to dictate how the game is going to go. You know, so that's one thing that we do really like about the way he's been coaching us. And he's very detailed. You know, I mean, I can't control what the media is saying. All I can say is that, you know, he's doing his job to the best of his ability, and I appreciate that from him. But we don't really listen to the outside noise in this building, you know, regardless of if we had a winning season or a losing season. So, I mean, it is what it is with what fans have to say or what people have to say. We're just going to control what we can do in the office and on the field.
Jelani Tavai joining us here on the Greg Hill Show. I'm Rob Bradford along with Fitzy. And Jelani, one of the things, one of the dynamics, you know, covering professional sports for a long time, you know, is the contract stuff. Is that there's leading into the contract and then when you sign the contract. And you performed well enough where you got your contract. And so now it's not like you're chasing something and you have that security. You can pay for 3 years of diapers without worrying about it, you know, all that stuff. But so for you, because you never know until you're there. Like, you never know until you sign that contract and have that security. So what's that been like for you this year in terms of actually going out and being a professional football player with that type of security?
I mean, it's nice, but nothing's ever certain out here in the professional world. You know, you can anything can happen. You know, but luckily, I don't really ever settle. I'm still trying to chase the next contract. You know, because I don't know. I feel like when you start settling, the worse you play, like the more bad you play, I guess, because you're okay with, I guess, mediocrity now. So I guess, like, I never changed my mentality after I did sign my extension.
Jelani, we're obviously coming up. It's the day after Christmas. We only just got a couple years left in 2024. This will be the last game of the calendar year 2024, though you guys will finish the 2024 season the first weekend of 2025 against Buffalo. So, obviously a time to reflect on the ups and downs, the pros and cons of the year. What was the highlight of this year for you, and what is Jelani Tavai's New Year's resolution?
Highlight is having my daughter. And my New Year's resolution is to make sure that we start 2025 off with the win.
Well, that's a good one. That's a good one. Did you play in any bowl games?
I did, and they're all in Hawaii. Actually, they're at the Hawaii Bowl.
Oh, that's like cheating. Like, I mean, you play for Hawaii and you're playing at home. Like, you wouldn't? Didn't you want to go to some sort of Pop-Tart Bowl or something like that? Get out of Hawaii.
I mean, that would have been nice, but it was nice having home field advantage.
You win?
Yeah, we did.
All right, well, listen. Everyone knows you come into Hawaii, you don't come away with a win. You're going to take it every single time. But hey, listen. Good luck. Good luck playing. And you did a good job in the cold already. You've adjusted. I would ask you about that adjustment from Hawaii to New England, but that's come and gone. You've played plenty of games, and you're also now adjusting to being a parent of a couple month old, and that's the most important thing. I hope that you had a great holiday season with your family, and thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Yeah.
All right.
I can hear exactly where he is, Bradfo. Thank you, Jelani Tavai, joining us on the Greg Hill Show with Bradfo and Fitzy.
That's where we lose him every week.
Really?
When he walks into the stadium.
See, my instincts are keen.
I could hear, like, he locked the door, he hit the beeper, he's in lot 6, and he just made his way through the player entrance security. I know it so well because I have to go around the corner to my security command to walk in every week.
So what you're saying is that the billion-dollar lighthouse has blocked cell phone reception in that area of the park, of the stadium, correct?
The Stacey James has the cell phone dampener. Like, oh, is he about to say something revealing?
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. If you want to justify that lighthouse's existence, put a cell phone tower on top of it so we don't have this moment.
So
right?
We have better 5G, so we all get communication cancer faster. Exactly, Brett.
Happy holidays. all right, well, we got a lot to get to. I still haven't done my lead, which is going to set the world on fire. We talked to Jackson Fell in the shower twice over the holiday season as well. We have to get to the bottom of that for some reason. Fitzy just got a sauna. Should he go naked in or not? Who knows? All these things we have to get to. First, we have to trend.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Subaru. The Chiefs took down the Steelers 29-10 last night behind three Patrick Mahomes touchdowns. The Ravens played the role of Grinch to the Texans as they demolished them 31-2. Celtics lose a close one to the Sixers, 118-114. Jason Tatum had a double-double, 32 points and 15 rebounds. They have the Pacers next at the Garden tomorrow night at 7:30. And get a new Subaru during the Subaru of New England Share the Love event, and Subaru retailers will donate $300 to charity. SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
Is that a banjo?
Yes, you got that right.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
There's a band called Steven Seagal's.
You get that tattoo too?
Yeah.
No? This is a good one, Jackson. Is that Jackson behind the glass? It's the Greg Hill Show. I'm Rob Bradford. Bradfro. That's Fitzy. Nick Fitzy Stevens. Fitzy, that's pretty impressive, isn't it?
The Thunderstruck?
Yeah.
Is this Jackson. Is this Hayseed Dixie?
No, this is Steven Seagal's.
Steven Seagal's.
Yes, Steve and then apostrophe N Seagal's.
Performing at the Cabot Theater in Beverly.
Yeah.
On January 15th.
No, performing in a backyard farm.
I have no idea. I had no idea. Anyway, we had mentioned this because Jackson got a banjo for Christmas, correct?
Correct. Correctamundo.
You also fell in the shower a couple times.
Fell in the shower twice, yeah.
I don't even know where to start.
Wait, hold on. How does somebody just, I don't want to bury the lead, how does one fall in the shower twice at your age without, like, you know, needing to take Centrum Silver and watch Fox News?
Well, there was some, so I had some serious back pain on Christmas Eve, I think it was. And
oh, I'm sorry
so
to hear that.
No, it's all right. It happens. So I took one of those giant ibuprofens, but I also took a painkiller, and I forgot about taking the painkiller. So I think I was a little bit, wobbly, woozy when I showered. And I went down like a sack of potatoes, not once, but twice. And I don't know if Terp can see.
Please
that.
Oh, God, look at that bruise on your forearm. Is that a tattoo of a bruise?
No, that's the bruise.
That's a bruise?
Yeah, and then like all up this side of my arm.
Looks like my tattoo.
I know, right? That's gnarly.
Wow.
It doesn't even hurt.
Look at that bruise.
Like, it doesn't even hurt to the touch, which is weird, but it hurts a little bit. But, yeah, it was tough. It was scary.
Well, we appreciate we're glad you're safe.
Yes.
We're glad you're safe. I mean, again, it's still a lot of unanswered questions. I don't
see.
I'm not really happy with his explanation, Fitzy.
What you see is what you get with me, though. Because Curtis will call me out every once in a while and say, like, "That's not true. That's not true." But why I have no reason to lie. And literally, what you see is what you get. I wouldn't. There's nothing.
I mean, you do have a tattoo of paranoid.
Yes, this is true. So yeah,
which is, as we took pictures of that. We can put that up on the socials, right?
Yeah,
I'll send
absolutely.
Those to you.
Sure.
Yeah, we were talking about tattoos. Bill O'Brien confirmed no tattoos.
We won that bet, but that was like minus 600 on FanDuel.
Yeah, and then the sad part was he said, when I get to my age, I don't know what I would do. Well, like, he's of my age, and I'll tell you what you do, Bill O'Brien. You get a baseballs and boring tattoo.
First you just chug a handle of Parrot Bay rum, and then you just...
I mean, you fly across the country, you chug some rum, you get a tattoo. It's science. But we also were talking with Bill O'Brien. You can catch us on the Odyssey app. The Boston College football coach getting his team ready to play Nebraska in New York. And we were talking about our fandom and linking up with the Yankees, Red Sox, Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park theme. He had said when little Billy O'Brien, 9 years old, got home early from school, the playoff game in 1978, he remembered that. And I said that was my launching pad for my sports fandom. Fitzy had mentioned the Game 7 of 1986.
That's
and
right.
Getting the note from his mother saying he could skip school, which is awesome, awesome, awesome. So let's go to Mark in Medford to continue that thing, because why not? Hey, Mark, what's going on?
You all had a great Christmas, and have a great Christmas, and have a happy new year.
You too. You too,
my friend.
So, thank you. So my defining Boston sports moment slash memory, whatever you want to call it, albeit it was a disappointing one, I believe it was the 88-89 Stanley Cup Finals, Bruins-Edmonton. And I think that was the game where Glenn Wesley steals from Gretzky, scores the goal, and then boom, the lights went out.
Yes.
And I was at the game. I was at the game, and we're all standing there waiting and waiting and waiting. They finally said, nope, the power's not coming back on. Everybody go home. And they replayed that game in Edmonton, which pissed me off.
How old were you? How old were you, Mark?
Oh, Jesus. I'm 55 now, so okay. You can do the math.
Yeah. So, but that's what I'm talking about. And you mentioned the Bruins, and I go back to, I think that the guys, Pete Blackburn and DJ Bean on the What Chaos podcast, great podcast, and they had sat down with a couple guys from the Bruins from a couple years ago and say, like, how we wasted that season, right? That they had the best record in hockey. You're going to roll to the Stanley Cup. And so, Mark, what we're trying to define, like, of the kids this age, like, what is the defining moment for them? And you, as a Bruins fan, can relate to this. I would imagine, Fitzy, that was for a lot of kids who got the little Bruins sweatshirts or sweaters a few years ago. That was it. That was like, I can't believe this happened. I mean, that was a moment, because we've been trying to define it. The Patriots don't have any in the last 5 years. Matt Jones losing in Buffalo doesn't count.
For this moment, you would have to say the Bruins finishing with the best record of all time and then getting bounced in the
first
round.
That's what I'm talking about.
Or how about getting a free path to the Stanley Cup, Mark, five and a half years ago in June of 2019 against the Blues, and then whizzing that one away.
Yeah.
That's another one. But I do have a great moment, guys, if you remember it. Not too long ago, a couple of days ago, was the anniversary of the Bruins-Rangers brawl in the stands when Mike Milbury, our own Mike Milbury, beat the crap out of a guy with a shoe.
Yeah. And, Mark, thanks for the call. And we had, you know, one of the great things about doing these shifts is that you do get a chance to talk to people. I hadn't got a chance to talk to Bill Bryan. I think a year or so ago, Mike Milbury was on, and that's all we did, Fitzy. Like, we just talked about the shoe incident. Like,
oh, you just shoe game. But that's what Holiday Companion Sports Radio is all about. Digressions into the days of old, fun stories, little behind-the-curtain action, just random sports blabber. Like our pal, who does an awesome job covering the Celtics for us at .com, as well as producing radio and Twitch, Justin Turpin, who's running our Twitch stream today, Bradfo. During this very conversation, he's 21, so he was trying to relay what his generation, you were looking for, like, what is this young generation's, what is their...
The t-shirt gun moment.
Yeah, what is their Bucky Dent? What is their Bill Buckner? And he said Super Bowl 52, the benching of Malcolm Butler.
Really?
The Patriots losing a game they should have easily won, getting hosed in Super Bowl 52, that might be this generation's...
Yeah, I mean, because I don't know if the Patriots beating the Rams in that last Super Bowl, it hit.
It was a snooze of a game.
Yeah, it hit like, certainly didn't hit like it did when they won that first Super Bowl. I still say, and this is going to be very controversial, I still say that was the most impactful championship there was in Boston sports, because unlike 2004 Red Sox, it came out of absolutely nowhere in a matter of hours. So... And also the area hadn't won a championship since the 1986 Celtics.
Correct.
So discuss that if you want. But still, like, this, what we're talking about in the last five or so years, we don't have that. Like, we forget that, Fitzy, when we're trying to figure out what happened to the Patriots, what went wrong with the Patriots. Oh, the draft is coming up. Are they going to fix it? Oh, thank you, Drake May, all of that. For the last 5 years, this generation of ages 7 through 12, they say, are saying, oh, yeah, remember the big Mac Jones Buffalo playoff game? Wasn't that awesome? Like, we forget that.
Remember when we signed Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry in the same day?
Oh, let me tell you. Remember the hype video they did with Matt Slater after Tom Brady won the Super Bowl? That was awesome. Anyway.
So sad to be there. And I'm with you, Bradfo. You know, people go on, like, I would say... By far, Super Bowl 36, that night is my favorite night, my favorite moment, the most defining of all of them, because, like you said, came from out of nowhere, ended the drought. A lot of us just never saw that entire improbable run coming, and we had no dreams, no visions of dominant grandeur that the Patriots would roll on to be a two-decade-long double dynastic supremacy. But that one night, when Vinatieri hit that kick, that is one of the highest dopamine highs I think I'll ever remember.
Well, not only you, Fitzy, like everybody. And people will say, no, the curse was broken with the Red Sox. Well, understand this. That was a sweep. Like, that was the Yankees thing was done. You swept. That was a sweep. It was by the time you got to 3-0, you knew that they were going to win. It was a different dynamic. You hadn't had a championship in Boston. I mean, forget about the 86 years thing. You hadn't had a championship in Boston.
Right.
And then out of nowhere, in a matter of days, in a matter of hours, in a matter of minutes, this happens. And so that's the type of feeling, much like we go back to Bill O'Brien saying he still remembers that feeling, as I do, of Carl Yastrzemski popping up to Greg Nettles. Like, I remember, you remember what it was like to stay home and watch Andy Griffith over and over and over and over again instead of going to school.
Are you kidding me? There was nothing growing up. There was nothing like having a sick day from school, staying home, and then watching reruns of Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie on Channel 56 all day.
Let it be said, let it be done. Excellent, excellent. All right, so I still haven't gotten to my lead because I don't want to waste it. I didn't want to waste it. I know that everyone's going to be buzzing about it, so that's what I want to do. We'll do that after this. All right, what movie is that from?
I'm literally singing the song if you're watching at twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Bradfo, top 10 Fitzy film of all time.
Ooh, George Clooney. Oh.
It's a great one, yep.
That man will pay you $10 for talking to a can. We're in a tight spot. That's the great, my favorite Coen Brothers movie. One of my all-time favorites, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
And, of course, that is Jackson's doing an excellent job behind the glasses of the Greg Hill Show. I'm Rob Bradford along with Fitzy, Nick Fitzy Stevens. And we had promised, and Jackson's only missed it once, the rejoins being banjo-themed because Jackson got a banjo for Christmas as he was falling in the shower twice.
Hell yeah!
And the funny part was there's actually only a guitar and a mandolin in that song, so he's actually 0 for 2. If we're going to be musically pedantic about it, why not?
Wow, yeah, okay. I'm sorry.
I mean, in fairness, once
it's
again,
one of my all-time favorites.
In fairness, Fitzy, he did fall in the shower twice.
Yeah, I'm right? A little bit jumbled. My hand's a little bit loose.
Save that. All right, we have to get to a break in a couple of minutes here, but I promise I was going to get my lead. So I'm going to do this a little bit different, and I'm going to give you the bones of my lead, the foundation of my lead. Fitzy, I want you to respond to it,
okay.
And then we will talk further about it, and people can weigh in, 617-779-7937.
So you're just going to do, like, the breadcrumbs of
the
your
breadcrumbs
lead.
Of my lead.
Okay, and, yep. And if so, do we have, like, a bread sponsor? Is this brought to you by
Progresso? I haven't had a carb in 5 years, so no bread sponsor. Ultimately, the bones and the bread crumbs and the foundation of it is that, you know, as I'm watching the football games yesterday in Netflix, there's a lot of things that I'm trying to pick through in my head. And there's good, there's bad. There's also the realization that this isn't changing. It's only they have a 3-year deal with Netflix to do this. So it's probably going to get better, I would imagine. But this isn't going away. The Amazon stuff isn't going away. The Netflix stuff isn't going away. The streaming stuff isn't going away. You know, my kids say they said that it's so nice. They're giving me a new TV, and they're like, you're not even going to even want cable anymore. I'm like, I want cable. Yeah, I want. Maybe I don't want cable. Maybe this is a thing. But this is one of the realizations that we have to come to. It's not going away. Like Netflix, you can scream and yell, which we will coming up, about the Netflix broadcast of these NFL games, but it's not going away, and in all sports, it's trending that way. So, that said, Fitzy, I want to give you the platform of your takeaway or takeaways from the Netflix broadcast yesterday.
The presentation by Netflix on a Wednesday, which necessitated the NFL giving all these teams Saturday games, so they had a Thursday night football truncated rest period, in theory is a good idea because the ratings of the NFL on Christmas Day or all holidays absolutely dominates the landscape and crushes the NBA. It's bad luck that those games yesterday were absolute waxings. Nobody had the Ravens beating the freaking Texans, a playoff-bound team, by 29. However, Netflix did a bang up job on the presentation and everything they could have learned. It's a shame they got the Tyson Paul of football games after the Tyson Paul of fights, because the games were non-competitive, but the Mariah Carey on the rooftop, Beyonce at the... It was a pretty impressive pack. I loved having it there. It just sucked. The games were awful.
Yeah, they had a little bit of technical issues at the very, very beginning.
They had a little buffering at top.
But that's what everyone was waiting for, because the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson thing was a disaster. The big winner was Antonio Brown and his Twitter account, who got 7 million views because he was filming it inside the stadium of the Paul Tyson thing. So everyone was waiting.
Yep.
To see if this was going to happen with this Netflix thing. For the most part, it didn't. I mean, at the very, very beginning pregame, there was some with Kay Adams, there was some audio issues. But still, there was a lot to pick through when it comes to this Netflix broadcast. But more importantly, it also made me think, Fitzy, about this is, again, we can't be old men yelling at clouds here. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to change. This is only going to, they're going to keep leaning into this sort of thing. And we have to embrace it. And this is why I asked Bill O'Brien about the evolution of college football. We can't be sitting there saying, oh my goodness, it's become professional. It's not changing. The genie's out of the bottle. The genie's out of the bottle in 2024 on so many things when it comes to sports. Whether it's Netflix, whether it's basketball three-pointers, whether it's baseball players throwing 100 and then blowing out their elbow a week later. All of it. I mean, we have to understand this is the evolution, and I'm going to use Netflix as a jumping-off point. All right, anyway, I want people to weigh in about their view. Is there anything that is going to change? It'd be the next iteration of this. Should we understand that this is just the beginning? Should we understand that everything's going to be AI? I am the future, Fitzy.
That's it. They will, and now the robots and the server farms will capture you saying that. They'll replicate your voice, so one day baseball isn't boring's legacy continues with Bradfoe AI.
Hold on,
it's gonna happen all of us. And I do have actually Bradfoe, as you say this, like we just have to steer into all of it, embrace it, and let it be and take over. There are some counter programming moments I can remember in recent history, so. I'll give a little pushback for proper radio dialogue on the other side.
Yes, there was let's go back to the year that without the Santa Claus in 1974. That was awesome. Be ahead of its time. I will turn my hat backwards. I will show my tattoo to the Twitch account, and I will be the future, Fitzy. I am the future. Yes, this is the Greg Hill Show. I'm Rob Bradford. That's Nick Fitzy Stevens, Jackson behind the glass. Be back after this.